Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the Message to Israel. In what has been entitled A Cry of Anguish and a Song of Praise, King David delineates in Psalm 22 suffering far more intense than that he himself endured. Mocked by men, forsaken even by God, the man of Psalm 22 nevertheless believes enough to predict that he will yet lead his brethren in praise. Remarkable in its preciseness of detail, this psalm contains more prophecies that have already been fulfilled than any other single psalm. With interest, we turn our attention to our Message to Israel messenger, A.J. Overton, as he presents another of his meditations on the Psalms. Mr. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings, friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. Heart-stirring pleas and praises uttered by such notables as David, Asaph, Moses, and many others comprise the Book of Psalms. This wonderful collection of divinely inspired Hebrew poetry features the fellowship that is possible between God and man. Great joys as well as deep sorrows find expression in this book of worship. It is probably the most used and the greatest beloved book of the Hebrew Scriptures. Now the Psalms often speak beyond the experiences of their composers. One of King David's writings concerning instructions for the building, meaning, and worship of the temple also gives David's own description as to the method of his writing. All this, he declares, the Lord made me understand in writing by His hand upon me. It may also be stated that while there were many human occasions for the various writings of the Psalms, behind these stood the Holy Spirit of God and the divine purpose. Many of the Psalms point into the future toward one who would come to redeem Israel and bring salvation to the nations. We now consider the 22nd Psalm. Anyone who lives for any length of time upon this earth may expect to experience suffering. There are, of course, different kinds of suffering, as well as various levels and means involved in suffering. Physical pain, mental agony, and emotional distress may all be elements in the acute sufferings of men. The 22nd Psalm, however, records a depth in suffering far beyond the limits men usually experience. Yet, it presents the voice of a victorious sufferer. Two great movements dominate its stanzas. The agonizing pleas and prayers from the lonely victim pulsate throughout the opening section. However, joyful notes of assurance from the victor, who beyond his travail beholds the glorious triumph, pours forth from the final section. While King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, composed the 22nd Psalm, no recorded incident in any period of his eventful life could begin to account for its descriptions. No collective experience of Israel as a nation could exhaust its expressions. Though some elements here and there in this psalm might possibly be applied to David or Israel, the entire 22nd Psalm forms a prophetic picture. The poet most assuredly is a prophet. Peter gives the best accounting of such Hebrew scriptures. On the day of Pentecost, or the celebration of the Feast of Weeks, he declared, "Being therefore a prophet, David foresaw and spoke of the Christ, or Messiah." So the 22nd Psalm is prophetic and messianic. It refers to the suffering of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, who declared on the day of His mighty resurrection, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Psalm 22 differs very greatly from all the other psalms. Several unique qualities may be noted about this psalm. There is no reference to sin, no plea of innocence, no claim of righteousness, and no expression of vengeance. Surely, Psalm 22 could be entitled, The Victorious Sufferer, for it is a prophecy concerning the Messiah's sufferings and victory. Psalm 22, sometimes called the Psalm of Sobs, presents a graphic picture of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ 1,000 years before the event. It opens with one of the 7 utterances from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The first division, verses 1 through 21, constitute the prayer of the righteous sufferer. This division contains 3 sets of verses. Each set is composed of verses that alternate between the sufferer's pleas and complaints and his appeal to and trust in God. They are sometimes termed the I, me verses and the thou are you verses. Verses 1 through 5 record the first set of these alternating portions. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou answerest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. These verses comprise the first I-me description. Why hast thou forsaken me? This does not express a lapse of faith, but the cry of agonizing disorientation as the enemy approaches and the righteous one experiences the withdrawal of God's usual and sustaining presence. These words do not describe an illness, but rather an execution. The righteous one becomes the substitute for the guilty. He bears the sin of many. He is forsaken in our stead. The sufferer now appeals to God in the contrasting thou lines of verses 3 through 5. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not put to shame. God is holy and good. The sufferer reminds God of his past faithfulness and deliverances. God cannot deny himself. Thus he makes his trusting appeal. The second set of alternating lines occur in verses 6 through 11. There he calls himself a worm, a reproach, and despised. They laugh him to scorn. They mock, let God rescue him, seeing he delighted in him. The very gestures and words of these graphic lines find literal fulfillment at the cross of Christ. Let God save him. The unbelieving often taunt that God is only for our convenience if he is there at all. The remaining lines of this set, verses 9 through 11, declare the faith of the suffering one as the pendulum swings the other way. Yet thou. He reminds God of his former mercies. He reflects on God's loving lifetime care. His relationship with God is not casual or occasional. A lengthy and purposeful acquaintance has been theirs. He states a well-founded trust. Thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou art my God since my mother bare me. Thus he pleads, be not far from me. The third and final alternating portion, verses 12 through 21, complete the prayer cycle of Psalm 22 and close the first division of the psalm. The I-me part, verses 12 through 18, forms the longest of the 3 agonizing complaints. These lines contain many direct and indirect allusions to the suffering of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. The picture is bestial. Bulls, lions, dogs, and wild oxen, ravening and roaring, represent evil, corrupt spirits, proud religious and strong political powers and the maddened throngs. His bones are out of joint. The expressed physical, mental, and emotional agonies describe the distresses of crucifixion. This dramatic prophecy declares, "They pierced my hands and my feet. They part my garments and cast lot." It is verse 15 that asserts the key truth, "Thou hast brought me into the dust of death." God willed that the Christ should die. The final portion of this set of alternating lines, verses 19 through 21, reach the great climax of the "Thou" sections. It is a series of most urgent cries as the strong enemy closes in upon the sufferer. Then suddenly, verse 21 marks the dramatic change and closes the first division. It is one word in the original, "Thou hast answered me." The second division of Psalm 22, verses 22 through 31, passes quickly from gloom to glory. It records the celebration of a great feast with testimony, praise, and rejoicing. This expands into mighty joy in the future boundless kingdom of Messiah. "All the kindreds of the earth shall worship thee, a seed shall serve him, it shall be told unto the next generation." Peter, following the resurrection of Christ, proclaimed by the Holy Spirit, "Him delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, by wicked hands crucified and slain, God hath raised up, exalted, and made both Lord and Christ." Will you trust him? The promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.